also about an initiative he has going on in Africa, I believe. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to him.
Well, hello. How's everybody? Good. Yeah, John and I were talking, I don't know, we were out doing something a while back. We were just talking about things that were going on and kind of vision for the future. And it had to do a lot with the like business stuff in Kenya associated with the Kaleo International Bible Institute. For those of you who don't know what that is, it is an accredited Bible college in Western Kenya that we've got to be blessed by being part of its startup over the last few years. We'll be graduating, well, we just graduated our third class this past December. And so anyway, it's building out a campus and some things like that. So I'll get more into that as we go along. I want to start out with just a couple of scriptures that kind of lay the groundwork for what I want to talk about in terms of business and ministry in general. What I'll be talking about today, obviously, is a little bit more what that might look like in certain mission fields. But the principles are the same as far as thinking in terms of being a Christian and a businessman and using that, those talents, opportunities, the things you've learned, the skills, all of that for the kingdom of God. And so it's just a kind of a different way of thinking than typical business. And it's really looking at how do the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world intersect. And business is actually one of the key places that those two kingdoms come together. You think about it, what you do in all of the different ways. If you're a Christian that runs a business or manages or works in a business, okay, you are every day intersecting with people who are not yet in the kingdom of God, right? And you're intersecting with people, by and large part, that have a totally different worldview than you have as a Christian. And so Christian businesses are run on Christian principles, okay? Are one of the key ways that God uses to reach the world that does not know him, okay? So let me just give you a couple of scriptures. The first one is from Proverbs 22. In verse 29, Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure or unknown men." Okay? Blessed is the man. Do you see the man who excels in his work? What does that do when you excel in your work? It gives you a platform. It gives you a voice in certain groups of people, primarily leaders in a community, that you'll never have without the standing that you have gotten from excelling in your work. Is that not true? When you are successful, even thinking in terms of worldly success, when you are successful in an area, people start noticing you, right? Now, that can be used for good or ill, but it's very true, and that's what this proverb is saying. Look at the man who excels in his work. He will stand before kings. He will not just be standing before unknown people. It gives you a voice. Okay? Now, the other one I want to take you to is like one of the weirdest proverbs Jesus ever told. I was telling John earlier, I don't think I've ever taught this. I've taught around it many times, but I don't think I've ever taught it. It's from Luke 16. You know it as the parable of the unjust steward. Right? Okay. Let's just read it. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you're going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe my employer? He asked the next man. I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Here the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And in the New King James, it says the master commended his servant for being so shrewd. And it's also, and it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. You need to pay attention to that verse right there. It is true. This is Jesus talking. It is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. It's talking about how are you interacting with those around you who do not know Christ in the context of business. Okay? Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay. So, kind of a strange parable, because it seems on the surface that like Jesus was commending dishonesty. But if you look into it deeper, that's really not what he was saying, because the master knew what the steward had done and commended him for it. Okay. So it wasn't, there wasn't like a stealing going on. The master had told the servant, okay, I'm going to fire you. I want you to get your report ready. Okay. So what did he do? He went out and he basically gave a discount to get the affairs settled before he was fired. But he did it in a way that got money for his master. These were debts. These were unpaid debts, right? So he went out and he said, okay, I'm adding a little bit here. I've read several commentaries on it. I think this is being true to what Jesus said, okay? So he went out, the steward went out, and he said, okay, you can't pay 1,000 gallons of oil, but you can pay 500. So let's get it settled at 500. You can't pay 100 bushels of wheat, or 1,000, whatever it was, but you can pay 80. So let's settle it. Let's get it done, right? And many business owners would be happy to take unpaid debts and get them settled at a discount. If you've run a business, you've all done that, okay? So I think that's what the steward was doing. But in so doing that, he was being very shrewd, and he was making friends. He was showing himself to be faithful to his employer. He didn't hide this from him. He was being faithful to his employer to get his affairs in order, but he did it in such a way that gained favor in the community around him that were under an oppression from that master. Does that make sense to you? And then Jesus went ahead and said, so here's the lesson, okay? Here's the lesson. Let me just read it again. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends, okay? So what does that look like? When you treat the people in the world around you with honesty, with transparency, and in a way that they see that you're on their side, it gains you an audience. Not promoting dishonesty, okay? That's not what's happening here. But being wise in how you're dealing with people. What this steward did was he put people before the money. Now, he was thinking about himself. He had a selfish motive here, okay? No, make no mistake about that, because it says he did, okay? But he was also putting the people above the money and getting it settled, finding a way to move forward in a healthy way. Okay. When you will have a business interaction with the world around you and the people around you in a way that is honoring, it will gain you friends. even among non-Christians. Okay? That's the lesson. And you do it in faithfulness to God, because then Jesus starts talking about, well, if you're not faithful in these kind of things, who's going to entrust you with heavenly things? Well, the only one who can entrust you with heavenly things is God. So Jesus was talking about, okay, God wants you to conduct your affairs here with wisdom, because he went on to say that many of the non-Christian businessmen, okay, many of the ungodly business people are actually dealing with the community around them in a wiser way than many of the godly people are. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Okay. And I've really seen these principles in action over the last few years in the mission field. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes. Several years ago, starting in 2012, I had the opportunity in Uganda to help start a commercial poultry farm from the ground up. And then I went back in 2016, and once it was going, and stayed there, lived there for a month, and as a veterinarian, and helped them sort of get started, because they were not doing real well. But by the grace of God, over about a month, we were able to correct those problems and move them from being very unprofitable to being very profitable. Okay. In 1 year, something like a $50,000 swing. They were losing money, and the next year they were gaining. Like the year before, they had lost about $25,000, which in Uganda, that's huge. The next year, they made about $25,000 profit. And the director of that, and he and his wife are a good Christian, Ugandan couple. And they started being very prosperous in their village. And that started getting the attention. So it wasn't long until they asked him to sit on the village council. Okay, and I'm talking village here, Wobulinzi. It's like 30,000, 40,000 people. It's not a tiny village. Okay, to sit on the city council. Then his name is Richard. His wife's name is Lydia. They continued to be prosperous, and so they became one of the largest employers in that area, which gave them even more of a voice. And so he started having a voice in the education of that area. And just all of the management of the area. And then he and his wife decided that they wanted to use some of their profit on their own and build a small poultry demonstration farm to teach locals how to raise poultry at a commercial level, but on a small scale, not a large scale. So they took their own money and they bought a piece of land and they built a small demonstration farm. Instead of running, 50,000 chicks at a time, they were running like 1,000 chicks at a time, something that local people could do. And they built those instead of out of the bricks and all that we'd built the other one out of, they built it out of all local materials. Because when locals would come to their farm, they would just be overwhelmed by it, and they're like, oh, we can never do this. And he wasn't making any progress. So he had the vision to start a small demonstration farm that, and then people would come and they could catch the vision. And so he started multiplying what he was doing, okay? And so now, the last time I talked to him, he and his wife were personally sponsoring 45 children's education in that village, okay? And just on and on and on, okay? By being successful, by using well what they had been given, they started standing before kings. And it gave them a voice. And now they're using that for the kingdom of God. Okay. In Kenya, in 2017, that was our first trip there. And we met Peter and Carol Mugini, who are a Kenyan couple who are missionaries there that we work with. They're the national leaders for Kaleo there. Peter's a pharmacist by trade. Carol is an accountant by training. They've chosen to live in the Kibera slum to minister primarily to refugees and Muslims there. And it's really hard to get any capital to start anything. So about a year before we met them, Kaleo had given some seed money and helped Peter start a pharmacy in Nairobi, because he's a pharmacist. Okay, so that started an income stream. Not a lot, certainly almost nothing by what we would consider the needs would be. But for them, it was very important. So we met them in 2017, and we were just providing a little pastoral counsel. We just met with them, got to know them, they got to know us. And they were talking about some of the challenges that they had, both personally and ministry-wise. And so we were just praying with them. And very clearly in that prayer, the Lord showed us two streams flowing into Peter and Carol. One based in Nairobi and one based in Nambali, which was his home village, and like 10 hours away by bus. Two income streams to support their family. One in Nairobi, which he had just put in place in the pharmacy. And so we just started talking to them. We told them what we were seeing. And we just started talking to them. What would be business opportunities for you in your home village? Because that's where Josh, Peter, and we felt it confirmed too, felt we were supposed to start an educational facility of some kind in Western Kenya, which is his home village. So we just started talking to Peter and Carol. What are the opportunities? What skills do you have? What interests do you have? What could we do? And anyway, out of that, over a 24-hour period, a plan fell into place. We were able to purchase in Nairobi a very small brick-making machine, because that was a real need out there. And obviously we could build bricks, or you make bricks to build the buildings that we had in our head that we were going to do, even though nothing was on the ground yet. And so within 24 hours, we bought that brick making machine and set up for it to be delivered to Nambali and training for Peter and some other people who'd work with him. And so they started a small brick making business and started stockpiling some bricks for future building. Okay, that was sort of the beginning of it. And God was actually using the business to give Peter a platform in the village where he was calling him to minister. Okay? But the first real step of that, well, back up a year. They had been there a year before that. They had gathered some people together and started a little like Bible school under a mango tree. So they had planted spiritually some roots there the year before. But that was it. Okay? And God was using business ideas to go before much ministry happened. And now looking back, I can see why, because of the opposition that we've met and all of that stuff, which I'll get into briefly. But so anyway, we started that. We acquired some land. We started building some buildings, classrooms, dormitories, that kind of thing. Started through the accreditation process for the Bible College. Normally, that takes about 10 years. The Lord blessed us. We were able to get it in 3 years, full accreditation in Kenya. It's the only accredited Bible college in all of Western Kenya, in an area known as the witchcraft capital of Kenya. Okay, so you know opposition is there. It's coming. So as that began to build out, and we acquired a little bit more land, part of the accreditation requirements were to have about 5 acres of land eventually. And when we acquired a little bit more land, the local witch doctor and he stirred up 2 or 3 other kind of neighbors. They weren't like right next to us, but neighbors in the area, to take us to court and sue us. Because in their charge against us, we had closed down a public road. Well, we had not, and we knew we had not. But you're still going to court in a very foreign land as a Mzungu, a white person, and you don't know what's going to happen. Okay, but by this time, we had built several buildings there, and the name and the reputation had grown in the area, not just about the Bible College, but about the business and just about the influence. Peter's voice was getting bigger and bigger in the area because of the way the Lord positioned him. And so when we went to court, the judge ended up ruling that not only was their lawsuit frivolous against us, and he just threw it out, dismissed it, but he said also what they are doing in this area is so important for our community development. Okay, he wasn't thinking so much about the spiritual side of it. That what they are doing in this area is so important for our community development that we're going to exercise what we would call eminent domain, and that all of you who brought this lawsuit are going to have to sell them your property at a court appraised value. Okay, and once they sell it to you, you have 3 months to vacate. Okay, and so, yeah, and so through that process, we acquired the land that we needed. Totally for the accreditation process. That's why one of the reasons it got accelerated so much. Okay. Well, so now we've got this increased land. And just through all this process, we had started got Peter what he needed to start a small timber business, because that was another great interest of his and a great need in the area, timber for building. Okay. So he had begun that already. So we had the brick business, we had the timber business. Now these are on a very small scale, but it's very influential in the setting it's in. Okay. So we went there this year in November, and we were just praying and planning and thinking and kind of dreaming, what do we need to do? Well, we found out that the Kenyan Educational Society, whatever department, had reorganized, and they had put all Bible colleges under vocational and technical training. So I was like, it's perfect. And so Peter actually had already started this, being there. We couldn't go there last year because of the pandemic. So he had actually started offering computer IT classes, okay? Totally separate from the Bible college, okay? But it's on the same campus, and so they're getting the influence. And so we had students coming for 1 year training in computer IT. And then, so we started this year, okay, also teaching welding and plumbing. That's going on now, and we'll keep adding to that vocational training. Because what's one of their biggest needs, and what's one of the things that gets their attention the most, is just what the judge said, it's community development, okay? And so we're now having students come to learn how to weld, to learn how to do plumbing, to learn computer IT, okay? And so we're working on building each of those areas out, and we will pray about what other areas we're supposed to add next. Of vocational training. And then we were investigating like long-term vision. What can we do? So we found the property next to us can be rented at a very low price, and it's a great area to raise corn and other crops. So we're acquiring that land by rent, okay, to raise food for the school. Parts of the property that we had are really good for like a vegetable garden type place, and on a large scale, to feed the students and the staff that are there. We're starting, they should be starting this week, building a laying house for chickens. So we're building like about 50 laying hens. Okay. So what we're doing is building a farm that will sustain and help with raising food, but also a demonstration farm for the area. I was thinking back while we were doing this to what Richard and Lydia had done in Uganda with the poultry farm. So we're building a demonstration farm to teach anybody that wants to locally how to come in and learn how to farm, okay? And then we were investigating what, like long-term vision, just praying to the Lord and to give us vision for long-term sustainability. And we started realizing that we'd seen a little bit of it before, but like eucalyptus trees, and there's another local tree that's a softwood called a grufaria. They're very rapid growing trees. From planting a shoot, you can harvest a 30 to 40 foot tree in 5 years. Okay, so they're very rapidly growing, and they're both very valuable for building, and both in very high demand. Okay, so to plant a eucalyptus shoot costs about 20 cents. And that standing tree in 5 years will be worth anywhere from 50 to 100 US dollars. That's a big return on your investment. You can plant 1,000 eucalyptus trees in 1 acre of land. So do the math, okay? So we set aside an acre of the land that we had acquired, and we're planting eucalyptus and grufaria groves, okay? That beginning in 4 to 5 years should bring in, you know, several tens of thousands of dollars each year. We'll do it on a rotating basis, okay? We will acquire more land, we'll plant more trees. I don't know how far that will go. I don't know exactly how big that will expand to. But it's just another vision of how to position ourselves in that community to continue to have a voice, and also to use the money wisely for the kingdom of God. In none of that compromising our values in any way, but dealing very fairly with our neighbors. The neighbors who are still there, they love us. They reach out to us all the time about things. They contact us for prayer concerns. They let us know when their family members are sick. We have helped them with hospital bills. We've done other things in that area with the neighbors around us. Okay? And so it's just a way that using business kind of to plow the ground as ministry comes in right behind it. Okay? And it is really working extremely well. I'm sure we'll meet more opposition. But that goes along with being in the kingdom of God, right? You meet opposition everywhere. You just have to remain true to your values. You have to use wisdom. You deal shrewdly, wisely with the people around you. Not selfishly, but wisely with the people around you. And let God navigate your path and prepare it before you. Okay? So, what the Lord has done without us having the forethought on the front end of like how to plan all this out, we didn't have all that vision. But we were willing to say yes at every step. We were willing to go without a plan. Okay? And sometimes it's really important. You have a vision. There's a difference between a vision and a plan, right? A vision is something you can see out there by faith. A plan is how you get there. And so sometimes you have to step into a vision without a plan. Okay? And that's really the story, I think, of what we've seen happen in Kenya. And every time that we've stepped forward into the vision, God has given the details. And it's been so much about short-term sustainability, long-term sustainability from a financial standpoint. But more importantly than that, it's been about positioning Peter and Kaleo there to have a voice that is listened to. We now have regularly government officials come to that campus to meet, to talk, to ask questions, to interview Peter. They have governmental meetings sometimes on the campus there of the Bible College. And so it's just gaining in that kind of reputation and gaining in that platform to be able to speak more and more into that community. The main reason for that is not because we're a Bible college. The main reason for that is the development side of what we've done. Okay? Does that make sense to you? All right. That's about it. I don't have a long teaching or anything. Any questions from anyone? So I just want to encourage you, those principles work here just like they do there. The details will look different, but the principles are the same. When you're a Christian and you have business opportunities, okay, you need to do that well. You need to do it with excellence. You need to do it wisely and interact with the people around you, but always using the resources primarily for the kingdom of God. And part of that means taking care of your own needs, taking care of your family needs. All of those are biblical, right? You're supposed to provide for your own needs and the needs of your family. God wants to bless those who are faithful so they can in turn bless other people. That's the way it works. If you're faithful in little things, go back to the parable I just read in Luke 16. If you're faithful in little things, God will entrust you with bigger things, and that even includes financial and material resources. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that everybody that gets rich in this world is a godly person. We know that's not true. Okay? Satan also blesses people with wealth and worldly pleasure while he's stealing their soul. Right? But for a godly person that is gifted and is a visionary for business, okay, God will bless you as you prove faithful, and he will bless you more. And the more that you use your resources for the kingdom of God, the more he will bless you with into an abundance and overflowing. He will never let you down. I know you've heard it said you cannot outgive God, and that is very true. God never has a shortage of money. There's never a shortage of resources, okay? We just have to work through the process, okay? He, as to quote a Psalms, he has the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Yeah. Okay. Becky?
Thank you, Don. Very informative and inspirational, as usual. I just want to take a few minutes. For some of you, you know that we did a survey just to find out what your expectations are for tent makers and how we can improve it and what direction we can go in to make this even more beneficial to you and your businesses. And I got several surveys back. If you didn't do one or didn't know about it and would like to have a survey, I have some with me. The results were overwhelming that everybody loves it. They don't really want to see any changes. There were a few comments about wanting more speakers from outside, inviting business leaders from outside. So I encourage you that if you know of business leaders in the area, invite them, bring them in. This is a wonderful forum for networking and discipling that is free of charge. And most business leaders would be happy to come if they knew about it. So one of the initiatives will be to reach out to the community and bring more people in that are not members of the First Church. I would like, if you know of business leaders out there that you think would be good speakers, facilitators for classes, I don't live here. I'm not plugged into the business community as well as some of you. So if you have names and contact information, I would appreciate that so I can start putting a list together of potential speakers. And also there's been a lot of interest in a mentoring program. So if you want to be mentored in starting a business or growing your business, please let me know. If you would like to be a mentor, let me know. I'm going to put a program together, and then when we get mentors and mentorees, match them together with appropriate mentors so that it makes the most sense and you get the most out of the process. So the topics that we put out there, and we're not limited to just the topics that were on the survey, but we had 8 that came out right at the top that almost everybody said they wanted to hear about. One is signs, wonders, and miracles in the marketplace, business processes, foundations for growth, covenant power to make wealth, finance management, key insights, finding your purpose, God's priorities, intercession at work, and team building in the kingdom. There were every one of them got votes, so we're probably over the next couple of years going to work through a lot of these and then throw some other topics in there as speakers come to mind. But we're going to start working through these. There was a lot of interest in the financial side of things. So we've got a couple of finance gurus that we're going to contact and start working our way through these. But if you have any other ideas, anything, please, we're open to any suggestions that you have. We had a couple of people volunteer to be speakers, so if you didn't volunteer and are interested, let me know. We had a few of you that were volunteered, so I'll get in touch with you and see if you're interested in that, and we'll go from there. But I really enjoyed the feedback. I would love more feedback, so if you didn't do a survey and want to, get in touch with me for a paper one, or Amy has it electronically. Does anybody have any questions for today? One of the other things I'd like to do is put a schedule together, tentative schedule for the year of what dates that we'll be meeting on. Weather and other things COVID-related probably, will interrupt that schedule, but we try to stick to it as good as possible so that you can plan ahead. And when Amy sends out the invitation, she's going to start putting, if we have the information, the speaker and the topic, so that you know that in advance. And if it's something that you're really interested in and you don't know that you can come, at least you'll know in advance what the topic is and who's speaking. Any questions? Then, John, you wanted to come up and pray us out.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say a quick prayer. It's very inspiring what you shared, Don. And it really goes back to the sort of the origin vision of business is not just a way to exchange currency, right? It's actually a spiritual covering for a region or a city or a place. So your business is not just your income, it's actually a call from God. And that was such a beautiful example of that. So I just wanted to pray a blessing over you guys who are business owners or aspiring business owners, that God would give you vision on how you can impact your community where you've been called to for the kingdom of God, okay? So Father, we thank you for today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, that you're here among us, that you're dwelling with us, Emmanuel. And Father, I ask now, from this wonderful talk that you've inspired through Don, that you would actually begin to give us revelation and wisdom on how we can use our resources through our business to disciple and influence nations, God. Father, start here with Livingston. Start here with Tennessee, with our own country, God. We thank you for giving us a heart to love and serve the communities we've been established in. But Lord, we pray for vision that is in alignment with Matthew 28, your great commission. Father, help us to disciple nations. Father, give us divine wisdom, dreams, insight, revelations, so that we can take what you've given us and pour it back into your kingdom to do what only you can do through our humble works in our hands. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for this time. We love you, Jesus. We love what you're doing in our midst. And God, we pray for this ministry and every business and family associated, that we would be blessed according to your will to do the works that you've purposed us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's a commitment to come here. I hope this has blessed you. Go and do what you got to do. We really appreciate you being here. I just want to remind you, if you have a friend who's in business or somebody you know who is trying to get into business or start a business, invite them. I know for me, when I was a little bit younger than I already am, having somebody older than me call out what was already there really helped. Okay, so if you know somebody younger who maybe works for you or works with you or has a business relationship with you that you know has a greater purpose and call than what they're walking in, you calling that out and saying, hey, why don't you come with me to Tent Makers? Why don't you see what this is about? Could actually spark something in them that's already there. Okay, so I'd like to challenge you to ask the Lord, who could I invite to this that would actually, it would actually spark something that God's already put in them that maybe they're hesitant about, or they're maybe embarrassed about, or maybe they just don't know how to take the first step in the right direction. I challenge you to find that person, invite them to the next meeting, and allow them to glean from this you have. Is that a deal? Can you guys just say yes if you want to accept the challenge? I won't force you. It's called being voluntold, Becky. Being told you're volunteering is voluntold. Okay. That's right. God bless you guys. Love you. Thank you for your time this afternoon.